Good morning. 17 minutes, 3 seconds per mile, according to Endomondo. It's 10:37 a.m. 10:37. It's Saturday morning, the 23rd. That's what I thought it was. I just, after the other day where I didn't really know what day it was, and I was sure that I did, figured I better look. Pandora doesn't seem to have shut off. There it is. Okay. So, 17 minutes on the first half. That's not bad, given the footing. Most of the sidewalks are clear, but there are still icy patches here and there that are a bit tedious to navigate. It's 30-something degrees, 32, maybe 34. I'm working up a sweat. And I'm not even wearing my fleece hood today. I'm just trying to get the walk in since I missed yesterday. My legs are telling me bad things. I've been bad. I've been evil on my legs. The walk the other day in the snow took rather a hefty toll. The thigh muscles have been objecting ever since. It didn't help matters that I went home and started shoveling the yard. It's a good thing, because we got more snow that night. And so yesterday was another day of shoveling. And I was clever and went out and shoveled first, and then realized there was no way I was going to haul my Hulk around 2 miles on those legs. Some question as to the wisdom of doing it today, but I figure, what's the saying? Pain is nature's way of telling weakness to leave the body, or something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure I buy it, because a lot of my pain is related to joints, and arthritis. Inflammation. And it has little to do with weakness. And it's certainly not weakness leaving the body, that's for sure. So here I am. I'm out. I'm walking. Complaining. But my sidewalks are clear. They are pristine. They're gorgeous. I got them cleaned off yesterday before the sun got up. Not that the sun got very bright yesterday, not that it came out and shined on us in all its radiant glory yesterday, but the UV comes through the clouds pretty clearly, rather easily, and warms the sidewalks, which in turn melts the snow. Or what little snow is left. So yeah, yesterday it was kind of a weak kneed day. But there it is. So Thursday was school day. I went to meet with my students. One of them had no words, which is a little disconcerting. The other two had lovely words. I'm very excited. The words that they're showing me now, compared to the words that they showed me the 1st of September, are staggeringly much better. They're really good now. Just clearing up point of view, clearing up verbs, that makes such a difference when you're trying to write narrative form. So it was fun, it was good. I enjoyed working with them. And I didn't work with them very long because I had a sick kid at home. I came home and made chicken soup, which we've been eating ever since. I think there's enough for one more day, although I've got hamburger. If I can figure out what to do with it for dinner, make something with it that my wife can eat. I got my turkey. It's in the fridge thawing. Well, not thawing, but it was supposed to be a fresh turkey, but fresh turkeys have a tendency to be a little stiff when you get them from the store. So this one is sitting. I got it a little bit early, but the date on it is the 30th, so it should be good enough for the 28th. And I'm pretty sure that none of the birds in the store right now have any more recent dates on them. Although perhaps they do. Perhaps I should cook it this weekend, get another one for Thursday. I do like turkey. I love turkey. I love roasted, fresh roasted turkey. I love the drumsticks. Ah. So yeah, there we are. Thursday, turkey day. Thursday I don't have to go to school. It's a long weekend. The kid's coming home from college on Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night. So she'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we'll probably want to go back to school on Saturday, just to get out from underneath mom and dad once more. It's going to be hard for her this summer when she has to move home. And we all have to adapt to having a college kid who's used to coming and going when she damn well pleases and is not going to be too pleased with having to actually participate in the broader community of the household, limited though it might be. So before I left, I started a fresh pot of coffee. I've had some food this morning, but it wasn't very much. I'm hungry again. It's going to be almost lunchtime by the time I get back. I wonder what I'll do. Fresh cup of coffee. Maybe some toast. Some of my own whole wheat bread and peanut butter toasted. The streets are the worst. There's where the cars were driving on the snow and packed it down to hard ice. It's got a little bit of slick water on the top of it now because it's just barely above freezing. And not being careful is a good way to being falling. So, yeah, I've had a lot of people ask me, so what are you doing now? What are you doing now? What are you doing now? And mostly what I'm doing now is relaxing. I'm lining up the audio work. I've got to get some audio work for PC Herring. He needs lines. He's going to work on them over Thanksgiving, so he's been really patient with me. I'll get him his lines. I've got lines coming from Dan Sawyer for Crudrat, the full cast audio for Gail Carriger. Those should be coming soon, as soon as he figures out which lines I've got. And then there's Cypheria's Call. And I think there's a short story in there too. And the last of the lines for Abby Hilton. I was hoping I was going to have them done before November started. I'm a little more than halfway through the book. And she sent me a whole batch of retakes. Apparently, my performance was somewhat lackluster as I got further along in that last batch that I sent her. So, yeah. It happens. You do what you do, you punt on the rest, and the director needs to bump them back to you. It's all... And it works out really well. Oh, Monk Pole. Monk Pole. So I'm trying to walk along sharply here to stretch these muscles out a little bit. Oh, here comes a flock of geese. A lovely V. Dark against a cloudy sky. My father used to tell a joke about geese. And every once in a while he'd get somebody from away who didn't see very many geese. But you know, you see them in the sky. And one leg of the V is always longer than the other. Or almost always. You almost never see them with the equal size legs in the V that they fly in. And of course the reason they fly in a V is because the leader breaks the trail, as it were, and his up stroke on his wing beat provides a bit of lift for the one following, ones following behind. And so they ride in each other's turbulence all the way down through to the end of the line. So his joke was always, you know, geese fly in a V, one leg is always longer than the other leg. You know why that is? And the answer is, more geese. And it's one of those jokes that my father tells that it was always hysterically funny. He has this very dry delivery. He's one of these people that quite a lot of the time he didn't say very much. I think I got that from him. My wife complains that I hardly ever speak. And it's true, you wouldn't know it listening to me ramble every morning, but I seldom speak. Unless I'm engaged in some specific activity that requires talking, like teaching or having an interview or like the morning ramble. So, yeah, most of the time I don't talk much. I talk very, very little. That was my father. He seldom said anything, but usually when he spoke, it was worth hearing. It took me a long time to realize that. It took me a very, very long time. I was probably 40. No, not that old. 30. Certainly 30. Before I realized it. He didn't say very much, but what he did say was worth hearing. Of course, growing up, it was always, and you've got this father-son schism that has to happen in order for the son to become his own man rather than his father's son. And oddly, later in my life, having gotten through that, I was actually pleased to be my father's son. It took a while for me to realize it. And the thing that made the difference, my father once told me, when I was 35, 40, he was talking about the kids, us, his kids, and how he, when we were growing up, he was always worried that we would, you know, he didn't know how we were going to make a living. He didn't know how we would make our way in the world. He didn't know. Because we were all such crazies. You know, I would lay in my bed and read all the time. I would fiddle with bits of wire. I would, you know, draw diagrams of strange things. And he never really got what I was doing. I'm not sure I did either. But the path that I should have followed if I was going to follow the pattern then would be to finish high school, go on to college, and get a bachelor's degree in something, some kind of engineering, and then get a job and have a family and work until I retired and then die. I mean, that was the pattern. That was his pattern. That was the pattern that he worked toward his whole life. It was the pattern that his parents worked toward. Although they were always busy. My grandparents were always busy, right up until the end. And they had to take the power tools away from my grandfather because he kept sawing his fingers off. That was always a challenge. They got them sewed back on, and they seemed to work because they were really usually quite quick. But still, the idea was perhaps not the wisest choice anymore. But they were busy right up until the end. My father was busy right up until the end as well. But I didn't follow that pattern. Of course, in 1970, when I graduated from high school, and I know some of you are saying, 1970, my God, I wasn't born then. I know you weren't born then. Some of you were. Most of your parents were. But in 1970, when I graduated from high school, it was Vietnam War. And the following year, I graduated when I was 17, and in the fall of that coming year, I was going to be eligible for selective service and potentially drafted, depending on the lottery. The selective service was done by lottery, and they drew your birthday. At the beginning of the year, they drew all the birthdays, and that was the order they would call people up in. So people whose name got drawn later in the year, like number 250 or number 300 or number 350. Those people seldom got called. Although in the height of the Vietnam War, 250s were commonly called. 350s almost never. So if you got a high number, you were pretty safe. But I wasn't sure I was going to get a high number. And I really didn't want to go to Southeast Asia because it's hot and sticky there. Oh, and there's people shooting at you. So I looked around, decided that, you know, there's no Coast Guard in Southeast Asia, or at least I didn't think there was. I learned later that, in fact, Coast Guard ran river patrols, which might have actually been kind of fun. Yeah, no, not really. It's still hot and sticky. So I enlisted in the Coast Guard. And I had to have my father come down and sign for me. And he was like, "Really? Are you sure?" And I said, "Hurricane patrol in the North Atlantic is a lot less dangerous than slogging through rice paddies in 100 degrees. And he said, "Yeah. 18-22 on the back half. That's not too bad. Given how much pain I'm in, that's not too bad at all." So anyway, he signed for me, and I went off to Cape May, New Jersey in the fall. And I managed to put in 5 years without being arrested, which was actually rather a feat. Little did I know how easy it was to run foul of the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. I managed to get through, but yeah, I was glad to leave. So anyway, I guess because it's Thanksgiving and family time, and I'm thinking mostly about family now, that's where that came from today. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.